We will not surrender and bow down to the fears that Satan has given us. We will not bow down to the God of Mammon who asks us to worship him and trust in him. We will not bow down to the God of unbelief who strikes our heart with fears and tries to falsely accuse us. No, we will not bow down and serve those false gods who put evil thoughts in our hearts towards you and try to give us hard thoughts towards you. No. Lord our God, Father, we humble ourselves before you today. Jesus, help me as I sit here in this out of place and pray to you. Father, bless my wife where she's at. Father, grant us that we would just really get through to you and that you would hear our words. Such a humble prayer before you we offer, Lord, and ask that you hear our prayers and strengthen us this day by the power of your grace, Holy Father. Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have placed our trust, the Lord God, who is the God of the living, we are living because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of your cross, because of the blood you shed, because of your resurrection power, God. Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus. Father, we ask you have mercy upon our day-to-day, and you grant us the grace necessary in order to hear you, obey you, and to rejoice in you all day long. God, strengthen our hearts even now, Father, to face whatever devils and difficulties and setbacks and challenges will most certainly come our way today. God, we ask you for your help and that you strengthen us to do the work you've called us to do. Lord, we have placed our hope in you. You are our strength. You are our every supply. We humble ourselves before you, God, and ask you to do what you've said. Lord, you've made us many promises. You have made us many promises, oh God. Your word says that you are a God who speaks, and it asks the questions, do you speak and then not act? Do you promise and then not fulfill? Lord, you have by your providence guided me to so many scriptures and so many devotions and so many number combinations that show thus far the Lord has helped us. We will not be put to shame. We will be delivered. We must forgive those who sin against us. We must continue to trust in you, and eventually you'll put a new song in our mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, and you will show up. You've helped us thus far. You will continue to help us. You will deliver us. That although we face a vast army against us, Lord, that those who are with us are far outnumbering those who are against us. And Lord, we are powerless in our shelf, powerless in our resources, powerless in our finances against the government of New Zealand, against Satan and all of his minions. But Lord, greater is he that is in us and that is for us than he that is in the world or against us. We believe it by faith. God, this is one hellish battle that you've been pleased to allow us to come into. Very hellish battle, Lord. And yet we do not shrink back, Lord. Since we have this ministry and we have this marriage and we have this hope by your mercy, we do not lose heart. This is your word to us. So we continue to hope in you and trust in you. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your richest blessings upon us. We thank you for sustaining us as far and as long as you have. And God, we thank you for keeping us through yesterday's hellish day. God, grant us the grace today to courageously look upon whatever the New Zealand government is going to bring to us that's going to be difficult, Father. We want to submit our bodies and our finances and our hearts to the flames today in behalf of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to suffer with dignity. We want to be willing to lose everything for you. And Father, we want to be free continually of this world. And we thank you that you've allowed our finances to be struck like this, that we are never, ever placing our hope in a bank account balance, God, but our hope is in you. And bank account balances can come and go, but the strength of the Lord will never. The resources of the Lord will never. The faithfulness of the Lord will never. Your ability to get to us what we need when we need it will never fail and never shrink back. So Lord, I just want to thank you. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we've found that you've given us grace in every episode of death that we face. Lord, we are surrounded by death. The amount of death that we're facing now is greater than I've ever faced it. I've captured it all in our recordings. We're surrounded in every way by every circumstance, Lord God Almighty, regarding our marriage being brought into death, our wedding at least. And now the tiny house, we face lions, God. We indeed are in the lion's den, but Lord, we know when you're pleased and you bring us out there, bring us out of it, that not a single wound will be found on us, for we trusted in our God. And Lord, you are a gracious God, slow to anger, compassionate, rich in mercy, forgiving God. And you forgive us of our sins. You forgive us of the moments that our heart has failed us and we've said things that we don't mean in the moment, God, said things that sound like we're giving up or said things that sound like we're grumbling against you. Lord God Almighty, have mercy upon us and remember we are but flesh. Remember how you formed us, God. Have compassion on us, Lord, as a father has compassion on his son. So may the Lord God Almighty have compassion on those who fear him, remembering how we are formed and that we are made of dust. We are weak, but you are strong. God, do not hold our weakness and our sins against us, but be merciful to us and forgive us, God Almighty. See that we have been often so overwhelmed by the enemy. Remember, Father, your beloved son, Yun, how when you were letting him bleed out, much like you've let us bleed out in our dreams of a marriage date that's come and gone and all the preparations and the thousands of dollars that were spent and it's all come to nothing. And now, Lord God, we're approaching fast, paying the amount of money that I spent to build the tiny house to actually just get it out of the hands of the New Zealand government and onto a piece of land. And we're being drained out. We're bleeding out all over the place. There's just bleeding everywhere, God, as we're handcuffed and tied up and cannot do anything to escape this. Lord God, remember that your son cried out in frustration. God, do you not have the power to save us from this? Why do you continue to allow people to treat us like this? Can't you save me? Just let me be dead. Just kill me, Lord. You know, even your very best of servants, Lord, when they've been faced up against this kind of pressures, they've cried out in anguish and frustration. And Lord, we have done the same thing to you, but Lord, we repent. We repent afresh, oh God, knowing that you are allowing all of this to happen, that you are sovereign. Just as John Flavel says, we must just rest and face these troubles knowing that they are all from you. You are allowing this, Lord. And Jesus, you would say to us every day, you do not know what I am doing to you now, but later on, however you will. Lord, I felt overwhelmed yesterday, God. I really did. As strong as Michael Criswell has been in the Lord and as much suffering as I have faced, I felt overwhelmed yesterday, God. I felt like you pushed me maybe beyond in a few moments what I could bear and that I was going to collapse and give up on you and give up on the ministry and give up on my marriage to Lisa. I had those feelings of death in my heart, God. 2 Corinthians 1:8, 9, and 10 was my momentary reality. And I'm just clinging, Father, in that moment, God, that this happens so that we might not rely on ourselves. God, I want to confess to you that I know I am exceedingly strong in the face of suffering. I know it, God. I've never met a human being that's faced as much suffering as I have, God. That's the truth. I haven't met Brother Yun. He's faced more, but different. He hasn't faced the sufferings I've faced. I've never met anybody who has suffered as much and as long as I have, and so I've become exceedingly strong in the face of adversity, Lord. It's like water on a duck's back. It's just like, yeah, okay, well, what else can I face? And Lord, I know that that does not do good for me. That is not what leads to the humility and the dependence and the growth in character, Lord. If I remained immune to all the suffering, God, it wouldn't be very effective on me. And so, Lord, you've been pleased to allow me yesterday, God, to really face the sting and to face the sentence of death. And I humble myself before it and before you. I am not strong enough, God. It's a great reminder, Lord, that I am not strong enough. No matter how much suffering I've been through, at any moment, God, you can pull the strength and the rug right out from underneath of my feet. Lord, how I just pray for you to have mercy upon my wife. Not that you would remove her suffering, which would be to remove the cross in her life, which leads to life and death to self and a greater assurance and hope for eternity. But God, that you would have compassion on her because you've put her right up into PhD level faith and suffering, God, right off the bat with me. Strengthen her, oh my God, against Satan's attacks and against her flesh and against those around her who don't understand this and are pulling on her and creating doubt. Father, we suffer for your name. My whole life is suffering, God. I see it. And yesterday I had some moments, Lord, where I was really inclined to feel sorry for myself and just say, that's it. I've had too much. I want out. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done suffering. And Lord, here I stand today, even yesterday evening, being able to smile again and rejoice with my wife. Lord, I say to you again, I surrender our body. I surrender my body specifically to the flames. For the name of Jesus Christ, take what you will, devour what you will, burn up what you will, bring to death what you will, Lord. My life is not my own. Who am I to dictate to you what you should do with your vessel? It's the same thought I had about Brother Yun. If he had the presence of mind, he should have said as he's bleeding out in the back of the van, not one drop of this is mine to save anyhow. This blood is bought by the precious blood, more precious blood of Jesus Christ. If he wants to take all this blood, let him do it. Lord, we say the same thing, that all of the financial gifts that you've given to us of recent and the financial provision and all the spiritual strength, and all the emotional strength and all of the testimonial strength, God, all of our spiritual, emotional, and soulical blood is yours, Lord. And if you want us to bleed out and be martyred for your name, if you want our marriage to be martyred, our wedding to be martyred, our hopes to be martyred, our finances to be martyred, our dignity to be martyred, God, we lay down our lives for you afresh, as painful as it is. Lord, we lay down our lives for you afresh. If anyone comes after me and does not take up his cross and deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. If any man is not willing to lose everything for me, he cannot be my disciple, giving up everything he has. Lord, we give up our hopes, our dreams. We again surrender our Isaac, the marriage. We know you've given us to us, to each other. We thank you for this incredibly gracious gift. Again, we both thank you, Father, for the gift of the relationship you've given us that just only grows. And the grace of Christ, the strength of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. Thank you for that, God. We thank you for what you've given us in each other. Even though we do not yet have each other physically, we very much have each other in spirit. And we thank you for that, Father. Father, this is hurtful. This has been exceedingly painful to go through. And we just thank you that you have been with us, that when the water has come over our head, you have not allowed us to drown. That when the enemy has come in like a flood, you have raised up a standard against him once again. Today we stand again in perplexion, but we are not in despair. We've been persecuted, Lord God Almighty, but not abandoned. We've been struck down, oh my God, in heaven, but we are not destroyed. Father, let it be that this death that is continually at work in my life and now in Lisa's life, let it be, Father, that it is to the life of the believers in Christ. Let it be that this is not wasted blood that's being spilt, but that it's being spilt that it might bring love and peace and encouragement and the life of Jesus Christ and the hope of Jesus Christ to our other brothers and sisters who are suffering with us. God, I want to thank you for bringing me to the place yesterday where I really believe I've completely abandoned my desire anymore to defend myself, even on behalf of brothers and sisters who may hear the false accusations that are raised against me and the scriptures that are read, and the statements that are made against me, and even the circumstances which are against me, which once again make me look like I am not with my God. My God is not with me. Lord God, that I die yesterday with what happened, to the need to defend myself anymore, Lord. And until you tell me different, Lord, I'm no longer going to speak a single word to defend myself. I'm going to leave it entirely up to you, Lord. If you want to raise up your servant at any point in time, you can do so. If you want to allow your servant to die in the flames on this cross, so be it. Your will be done. I am just at this new place, Father, of deep rest, no longer worried about how what other people say about me or the testimony will affect even new believers. God, because the same things, if they're a true Christian, I see this insight this morning. I've woken up to this, that all these people for years I've been worried who would be led astray by people that come and spin their own statement and bring their own scriptures without quoting the also writtens or quoting them severely out of context from the heart of God. And they can sound so right. Just as the proverb says, the first man to speak to present his case seems right until another man comes forward and questions him. But Lord, I really see that you've caused me to die to that yesterday, that I no longer am afraid of other people stumbling. You've freed me from what other people think of me in a very sufficient way for, seems like, several years. I'm no longer afraid of the opinions of men. But God, I was held captive by the fear of what opinions of men and accusations and false statements and evil suspicions that Satan gives people about me, where they hang and wait for one thing to go wrong so they can turn it all around and make it look like I'm wrong in everything and that I'm, you know, some heretic or some false teacher. Lord, I've always been so concerned that other new believers or struggling believers would see those words and be damaged by them, and that the testimony, well, yeah, maybe Michael is this, maybe God isn't with Michael, because it so often happens. Satan puts evil suspicions in the hearts of even those who are truly, sincerely trying to follow the ministry. And I'm tired of trying to defend myself, God. I gave the example yesterday to Lisa of, you know, what has so often happened with my dear brother Jared, where he admits for weeks at a time, Satan will fill his heart with evil thoughts towards me. God, I'm done, totally surrendered to my own defense anymore, God. I'm no longer going to defend myself to anybody. I'm exhausted from trying to defend myself to, I mean, it's been one defense after another. I had to try to defend myself to my children, to my parents, to my friends, best friends, to my most recent ex-wife. And now I'm feeling like I've had to defend myself to Lisa, and thank God, Lord, you've given her grace that she defends me. And she's had a lot of practice doing so, and I don't have to defend myself to her. Lord, I just say, allow Satan to say whatever he wants to say about me from this point forward. God, I'm going to make a vow to you right now, Lord, in this prayer that I thought about yesterday, that I'm making a vow to you today. And God, I ask you to help me keep it. I'm no longer going to speak a single word in defense of myself or in defense of the testimony. I'm setting it down, God. I see, Lord God, your good purpose for bringing this so far into death and overwhelming me so much with Satan and all the horrible things that are happening, that, Father, I'm no longer going to seek to defend myself, that all of the Christians that might be led to have evil suspicions or be led to think wrong of me or to wonder if I really am a false prophet, if I really am a lunatic, if I really am being deceived by Satan, God, they are going to have to face, if they are a true believer, if they're really going to go all the way with you and follow my example, and they're not just watching this channel to fool themselves into thinking that they have a good relationship with you. But Father, if they are going to go all the way with you, they too are going to have to face these accusations from family members or from comments in a YouTube section or people they work with or children or friends or colleagues or people they have been in fellowship with. They too are going to have to face these misunderstandings and these evil suspicions that Satan puts in the heart of others. And they'll need to follow my example. And perhaps they can save themselves a lot of exhaustion early from learning from my example that there's no need to defend themselves. And there's no need to have to defend your word. That when you are ready, Lord, you can vindicate your servants, that you can raise up and show. And I've really seen this example in Brother Yun in a way I've never seen before. I mean, I think about how all those miracles you did, Lord God, where all the villagers were mocking Dayling and her mother-in-law while Yun's in prison and believing that this guy really was a criminal and that he really was, you know, a disturber of the social order and that he really was a bad guy. And they believed, and then you had to do, they didn't defend themselves. They just allowed themselves to be mocked. Perhaps they stated the truth at some point in time, but they couldn't defend themselves. And then, Lord God, when you did this unbelievable miracle and they pulled sweet potatoes out of the ground that they had planted incorrectly and everybody was making fun of them for, and they pulled them out of the ground and theirs were the size of basketballs and everybody else's was the size of tennis balls, you vindicated your servant in jail and his family, and they knew, wow, this guy must not be a criminal. He must be falsely accused. He must be in this terrible situation. But he must be a man of God, and you vindicated your servant, Lord. And I'm going to, Father, I make a vow to you right now, Lord. It's a very difficult vow. It's a change in me, Lord. that I'm going to die to my desire to defend myself, even on behalf of the brothers and sisters in Christ who may stumble at the accusations of others. And God, I'm going to welcome. You'll hear the cursings, Lord God, like the Shimeites that come, and that they will curse, and that you will hear the suffering and the reproach, Lord God, and that you will bless, Lord. I'm going to lay down right now, God, in this prayer before you and my wife as my witness, Father, that I'm not going to speak another word. And God, if I even attempt to do so, please may the Holy Spirit check my heart. Father, perhaps that this is a beautiful Romans 8:28, and you will have spared me a great deal of time and energy and anxiety of worrying about what other people will think as a result of what others have spoken evil of towards me or the testimony. The Bible says all who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, and we are to love those who persecute us and insult us and falsely say all kinds of evil against us. And how could we even obey that command if we didn't have people to say all kinds of evil against us? And you, Lord, said, woe to you when men speak well of you, when they only speak well of you. And, you know, this is how they treated the false prophets who were before you. So, Lord, we're going to rejoice in the sufferings of Christ and in the reproach. And, Lord, I'm no longer going to defend. I think I've defended the testimony enough. I think I've defended my position and your words and my heart enough. And I'm exhausted, Lord. And you finally brought me to a place where I no longer have the energy and the capacity. It's just overwhelming. It's like where I was in court back in 2012, and it felt like 1,000 different bullets being shot at me from every different direction. And I just said, I can't do it. I don't know which one to defend first. I can't. And you've put us in this situation where we're helpless, Lord. And I'll just have to trust that when you're ready, if you care about this testimony, if you care about this ministry, if you care about how it impacts your children, if you care about vindicating your servant and the credibility of showing that your words truly are in my mouth and have been, then you'll have to raise up this testimony. You'll have to raise up these dead circumstances and this dead chapter. You'll have to bring resurrection life, and you'll have to somehow or another make good on the fact that, you know, people are going to see what happened, and there are those who've said that this is the hill I die on, and perhaps they're right. Perhaps I have died on this hill. But perhaps they have forgotten that I serve a God who gives life to the dead, Romans 4:17. A God who says to Lazarus, come out. A God who says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? God who gives back that which dies. Oh, Lord, I just pray in the name of Christ Jesus that we see your resurrection life in a way that restores the whole testimony and finally helps bring strength and credibility to your words in your servant's mouth and to this marriage. Lord, I make this vow to you that I will no longer defend myself. I will wait for you to defend me alone. I will die allowing the mockers to mock on. And I pray that you give Lisa the strength to allow her husband to be falsely accused and her testimony to be raked through the mud and for us to be hurt. And Lord God, we will forgive those who sin against us. And we pray that you would bless them, that you would help them to see that this really is the true Christian life, one terrible suffering after another, particularly for his certain servants who have been called to hear the words, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Lord, we willingly suffer according to your name and your good purpose in our life. No matter what comes today in the email from the New Zealand government, no matter if they take every penny, God, we're going to swallow hard, we're going to crawl up on that cross, and we're going to die a good death in dignity, trusting in our Lord who gives life to the dead, who has delivered us from many other deadly perils, and who will deliver us, and who we have set our hope on that he will continue to deliver us, the Lord who is faithful, who will strengthen and protect us from every evil attack. Since we have this ministry, since we have this marriage, since we have this love, since we have these finances by the Lord's mercy, since we have this tiny house, since we have this call to go to New Zealand by the Lord's mercy, 2 Corinthians 4:1, we will not lose heart. Do to us as you see fit, God. Only bring Romans 8:28 and grace to help us to be more like Jesus Christ. Help us to die honorably, nobly, with dignity, keeping our eyes upon you, the sovereign God. Lord, we just confess again, you're sovereign over every circumstance. Lord, I felt offended that people would do this to us, Lord, that this system is designed to really just financially rape people like they have done, and that this is the country you've called me to, and I hoped I could be proud of going into this country, and Lord, I'm not proud of this at all. And Lord, I think of, you know, if those who had left the country, if they had been hoping to return to the country they came from, but they did not. Instead, they were hoping for a better country, a heavenly country. You know, a home whose architect and builder is God. And your word says of those in Hebrews who longed for the heavenly country, Lord, that God was not ashamed to be called their God. And so, Lord, I've never been longing for New Zealand. I've only gone there in obedience to you. And I'm going there in obedience to you. But Lord, I was really offended and disappointed that people do this, Lord, and they just don't even care. And it just felt so tragic and so wrong. It is wrong, Lord, to treat people like that. And I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you of your sins. If you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins. Lord, we forgive them. They do not know what they do. They do not know that they strike at a relatively poor brother and sister, you know, husband and wife in the Lord, servants of the living God. They do not realize what they're doing, Lord. And I realize it's probably not even personal. They don't know us. They don't care anything about us. So, Lord, we forgive them, Lord. They do not know what they do. They strip us of all of our finances and all of our savings. So be it. Our hope has never been in a bank account. Our hope is in the living God who is our supply. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Set your mind and heart on things above, where Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, not on things below. Keep your lives free from the love of money, for he has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." God, we do not love money and we do not trust money, Lord. I have not in all these years, and you've never failed me. You've provided our every need, and the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Even if they take our tiny house from us, Lord, though you slay us, yet will we hope in you. And Lord, even if I have to suffer like this in some manner all the way to the end of my life, so be it. These light and momentary afflictions are producing in us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I absolutely believe it, Lord, and we're not living for this life. And this is a great reminder that everything down here has something wrong with it, that you do not call us as true believers to put our hope down here. And God, I do want to thank you. It is sometimes confusing when I look at how extraordinary the relationship is with Lisa and I. It's clear that you do have comforts for us here. The relationship is beyond describable, God, and I just thank you so much for my wife. I thank you so much that you've given her strength to endure with me and this incredible love, and that as Satan has attacked us in all kinds of ways, that our roots have just gone deeper and deeper into you and deeper into one another, and I thank you that we're not going through this alone. I thank you, Father. We're so thankful for this relationship, even though we can't be together. God, so many people around the world would give anything to even have the potential or any kind of a phone or email relationship with somebody who loves each other as much as we do, who's blessed of the Lord in their hearts like we are. Father, we give you mighty thanks for that. We thank you for this, God. We thank you for all the things that you've done to help us thus far, Lord. We do thank you for our many Ebenezer stones that we've set up along the way. And we know that you're going to deliver us, oh God. But even if you do not, we will not surrender and bow down to the fears that Satan has given us. We will not bow down to the God of Mammon who asks us to worship him and trust in him. We will not bow down to the God of unbelief who strikes our heart with fears and tries to falsely accuse us. No, we will not bow down and serve those false gods who put evil thoughts in our hearts towards you and try to give us hard thoughts towards you. No. God, you have given us evidence upon evidence that even when we're in the flames, you're in it with us, God, because within minutes of crying out, you restore peace to our hearts, just like you did yesterday. And Lord, we only trust you again today for the grace to have the peace that we need to suffer the way you want us to suffer, to face whatever difficulties you want us to face. God, our lives and hearts and finances are yours. Do with them as you see fit, Abba. Do with them as you see fit. And God, I just want to thank you for these ever so humbling circumstances. I want to thank you, Father, for these constant thorns in the flesh from Satan that keep me low and humble before you. That I thank you, Father, for after all these years, you have so wonderfully answered the cry of my heart to keep me from becoming prideful in the face of tens of thousands of people who've been affected by this ministry over the years. God, you have worked so wonderfully to keep me from being prideful and ever thinking that this was of me. And you continue to show me, Father, that I have nothing apart from you. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing exactly what you needed to do, Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Though he ruin me, yet will I praise him. Yes, Father, we will continue to praise you, Lord, and love you. And God, no matter what you take away from us, Lord, I don't see you taking us away from each other, but even if you did, Father, so be it. But God, I thank you that even in the midst of being stripped of everything and all of our hopes and our wedding dreams and our hope in you for that and our dignity and the tiny house and all of our finances, God, we hope in you and we thank you. And we just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll use this to strengthen others, that others will find comfort, Lord, that while death is at work in us, life will be work in them. And that all of this death that is at work in us, Lord God, may it be that it reveals the immortal life of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power in our mortal bodies, to the praise and honor and glory and of the name of Jesus Christ and to the strengthening of his servants. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you, God. Thank you for this. Thank you, Father, that when you let us suffer, God, after a little while, Lord, you strengthen us, making us strong, firm, and steadfast. God, I'm feeling strong and firm and steadfast in my heart compared to what I felt for several deep, dark, terrifying moments yesterday. Thank you, Father, that you've forgiven us, Lord Jesus Christ, that your word says if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you above all things, God, for the grace that you've given to my wife to carry her through this. Father, she has displayed your grace in a way that has exceeded my expectations and hopes. Thank you for blessing her and keeping her in the flames. Thank you for showing her Mark 9:49, and everyone will be made salty with fire. Thank you for salting us. Thank you, God, that we will not show up in heaven knowing we did not suffer for your name, that we suffered and carried our crosses, that we participated in the sufferings of Christ, that we may also participate in the glory of Christ. Just as it says in Romans 8:17, and so that we may now say, we consider, O God, by faith, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the future glory which will be revealed in us in due time. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, Satan will throw many of you into jail to test you for 10 days. But be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. And Lord, we somehow believe by your gracious gift that we will see a token of that very promise. As we face death now, you will give us a tiny crown of life on the other side of this when you are ready, which will be only a type or a shadow of the grand final crown that is to come after we endure this difficult life and this body and this devilish, hellish dispensation we live in all the way to the end. We will then receive the ultimate final crown of glory because we endured and patiently suffered, faithful even to the point of death. God, may you keep us and strengthen us all the way to the end. For we have hoped in you, O God, and no one who hopefully waits for you will ever be put to shame, although many times it certainly looks like it. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In the name and power and blood and faithfulness of Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sins, having shed his blood on the cross, who intercedes for us at the right hand of the throne of God, who was able to make us and cause us to stand strong and firm all the way to the end. We say in your name, let it be. Amen. Let us trust him, my love. I love you very much. So very much I can't put into words. And I look forward to talking with you later today. May God bless you and keep you all day in his grace and in the strength that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Michael commentary. So after you listen to this prayer, you'll notice that there almost seems to be a tiny bit of a contradiction, where on one hand, I'm praying that I'm willing to be a martyr, if you will, in all ways, meaning setting aside all that is in me that is my life, my time, my focus, my money, my resources, and being willing to lose it all in accord with the will of God. And also being willing to be persecuted and allowing people to say whatever they wish to say about me. Now, where the contradiction comes in is that as we get just a few weeks past this, the decision will be made for me to turn comments off. So you may find yourself saying, well, now hang on a second, Michael. If you really do find a willingness in your heart to face this persecution and you recognize the blessing of Matthew 5:12, blessed are you when people insult you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of my name, aren't you missing out on those blessings by shutting down the comments? And aren't you kind of contradicting yourself where you say here to God, you're willing to allow people and Satan to say whatever you want about you? It's a great question, and I want to help answer it not for me, but for those of you who are hearing this who may find yourself in a situation where you too are persecuted. So yes, Jesus, first and foremost, made it very clear that you are going to be persecuted. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:12, he says that you will be persecuted. And Paul said to us that all who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And 2,000 years of Christian history proves this. And my testimony is no different. Now, for some 10 years, I've faced this ongoing, very consistent persecution. However, there is a biblical precedent for fleeing from persecution if you can. So, for example, in Matthew 10:23, Jesus told the apostles, the disciples, that when they are persecuted in one place, flee to another. So here's the principle. You're going to be persecuted, but if you can escape it, do so. However, there's going to be times when you cannot escape it. So in the instance of the ministry now, I am able to escape and thus help other people escape the distraction that is coming from all these birds of prey, I'll call them, in order to distract away or to devour the sacrifice of the presentation of God's word and his truth through these recordings. So I'm able to, if you will, when persecuted in one place, flee to another. It's the way that Jesus taught to avoid persecution. In fact, Jesus himself did this. So you can see that there's a biblical precedent. If you were to see John 7:1, it says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. So by turning off the comment sections, now that I've seen there's a larger group of people, even after I've blocked, I don't know, let's just say it's over 100 people. Over the years I've blocked, I don't even know, who cares about how many it is, it's a lot. It's enough to stir up trouble, remembering it only takes one bad apple to spoil the bunch. It really is true. You could read, 45 really good positive comments, and then you come across this one comment, and it's as if you didn't read any of the other 45. And that's exactly what it's designed to do. It's like the person in your family or you work with where, they may give you 10 good compliments, and then they say one harsh thing, and it's as if all those 10 they said to you doesn't even matter. It is unfortunate that in this curse that we're in, that is the way it works. So another scriptural principle is John 11:53-54. So from that day on, they plotted to take Jesus's life. Therefore, he no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. So the time came when the threat was so severe that Jesus no longer moved about and made himself publicly available to be persecuted by the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. Brothers and sisters, this is basically what I'm doing. I'm no longer making myself publicly available for people to throw these harsh words, slanderous comments towards the testimony. I can do something about it, Therefore, I am. And I see I follow Jesus' example when I do this. In Acts 13:51, it says, so they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Here the disciples are facing more and more resistance to the gospel from the Jews, and they don't just stand there and let themselves be martyred by all the persecutory words. Not even Jesus did this. He would go to a different place. He didn't stay in one place very long. In Acts 22:18, and it says, Jesus said to Paul, quick, leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me. So here you see again, the time comes when Jesus will say, that's it. Turn away, right? And move away and flee. So I just wanted to put that in there, that after a lot of prayer, it became obvious when persecuted in one place, flee to another. And at the same time, supposing a person, one of these people wants to go and set up a website. You know, one person had set up a website where they tear down a bunch of teachers. And of course, they spent a whole page tearing me down. And there's other people who maybe I've seen have made videos. People have said, oh, have you seen this video about you? What have you? But you'll never see me go to those people, even if they use clips from my recordings. So that's a persecution that I cannot escape. I'm not interested in escaping that. This is a really good point to see. So if somebody goes and sets up and makes a whole channel dedicated to We Hate Michael Criswell, I'm not going to say anything to that person. Somebody will point it out to my attention and I will say, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I can't do anything about that. And so there will be rewards for me for my persecutions. Like there'll be people talking about me somewhere which that'll never make it on the internet. I'm blessed when I'm persecuted like that. And I can't flee that. If you want to set up a web page and try to, you know, tear down the ministry and rip Michael Criswell apart, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to try to call any authority or go and say you're taking my, you know, name or whatever. If you did what somebody else did, where they tried to set up a YouTube channel with my identity, making it look like it was me, without a doubt, I'm going to file a strike against, you know, YouTube against you for that. But nonetheless, if you wanted to do one of these other things, I won't. I'm not going to chase down every person who has something bad to say. But in this instance, when persecuted in one place, flee to another, I can do that. I don't have to leave it up anymore for them to just constantly have a free place to land. It'd be like Jesus, you know, everywhere he went, making a front row seat for all the persecutors and saying, here you go, pull on up and say what you want. Or where he just went and did a sermon, leaving chairs available right there so that anybody who ever wanted to come and remember the sermon he preached there and persecute it could do so in the ears of everybody else. And that's kind of what YouTube does, is it allows you to basically continue to persecute. I mean, it's amazing. Messages that I put up, you know, 10 years ago can still be persecuted. So you can still have people hanging around. Well, that couldn't happen during the day of Jesus Christ because he was constantly moving around, as was Paul. So they can only be persecuted for a minute. Then they'd move to another place and be persecuted again, so forth and so on. So hopefully that will help you to understand. End of commentary.